Did you all have a good week? Very good. What made it good? Beautiful. Anybody else? Bible. Wow. Beautiful, you all. So what made these little ones' week good was spending time with family, learning about the Bible. Those are beautiful reasons to have a good week. Absolutely beautiful. And in many ways, I can say that my week was good for many of those very reasons, same reasons. Today, we're going to talk about something very important. Oh, about 3 weeks or a month ago, I was having a Bible study with a young person, maybe about the age of a couple of you, but maybe a little bit older. And we were looking at the story of Jesus' temptation in the Bible. How many different things was Jesus tempted with? Does anyone remember? How many? Okay, that was one thing. How many different times was he? Very good. Three different times. He faced temptation on three different points. And so as we were having this Bible study, myself and this young person, we hadn't really gotten that far into our study when this young person said to me, "I already know what the message of this story is about." And I said, "Really?" I said, "What do you think it's about?" And the response that he gave me was, "It's about choices." I was actually blown away because I've never really thought about that in relationship to that story. And yet, that's exactly what it's about. It's about making choices. Three different times, Jesus had to make a choice. And three different times, Jesus chose in a way that denied himself for the good of others. And so today we're going to look at what's really involved with making choices. First of all, I want you to answer another question for me. The Bible speaks about our heart. When the Bible talks about our heart, where's our heart? That's one of the places the Bible speaks about, okay? Where's another place that the Bible very much speaks about, that the Bible refers to as our heart? Very good. And what is that? What part is that? What is it? You said it. Tell me what part is that of our body? What part of our body is that? Okay. Or what else do we call that? Another word for our brain. What do we call that? We think with it. What do we think with? Our mind. That's the word I'm looking for. You guys are thinking. Excellent. You guys are thinking. You're using your mind. Beautiful. The Bible refers to our mind also as our heart. The mind and the heart, they work together as one. And the Bible repeatedly calls us to be mindful of how we use our mind, how we use our heart. And I'm going to share with you something about choices. Can you think of another word for choices? Decisions. Excellent. You guys are just on the ball. Outstanding. That's exactly the word I was thinking about. Decisions. And no matter what age we are at, we are constantly making decisions. We're making right decisions or wrong decisions, good decisions or bad decisions. And we're going to, I want you guys to be ever mindful of how we make that decision. It's not just you guys, it's not just little people, but I have a feeling that if you guys get this while you're young, it can help you to overcome many of the difficulties and struggles that many of us adults face today. Okay, so I want you to get this. I need someone to hold the microphone for me. Okay, come on, Hans. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I prefer not to use it, but since for the benefit of everyone else. Okay, thank you, sweetheart. Okay. When we make decisions, there's a process that is actually going on in our mind. And we're going to demonstrate that process with these little stick characters. There's always a choice that is being made. And the first individual is always, it's called the voice of, what does that say? Reason. The voice of reason. What question do you think the voice of reason asks? The voice of reason is always asking a question. We process things really quickly, so we don't always realize we're doing this, but we are. The voice of reason is always asking the question, is it good or is it bad? What's the question that the voice of reason is always asking? Is it good or bad? Exactly. The voice of conscience is always asking the question, is it right or wrong?
Right.
Very good, you guys. Is it right or wrong? So voice of reason, is it what? Good or bad? Voice of conscience, is it right or wrong? Exactly, very good. And then we have what's called heart's desire. Now, heart's desire sometimes wants to do what's right. He wants to do what Jesus wants him to do. Sometimes, heart's desire is not really sure if he wants to do what Jesus wants him to do. And then sometimes, heart desire doesn't want to do what's right at all. No, that's not good. You're right, sweetheart. And then we have King Will. And King Will, you have reason, conscience, heart's desire. In order for King Will to decide, all three have to be in agreement. Voice of reason, voice of conscience, and heart's desire want to do what's right, then King will do what's right. King will obey. Although voice of reason, voice of conscience, and are asking, is it good or bad, or is it right or wrong? If heart's desire isn't sure what it wants to do, how do you think King Will responds? That's exactly right. King Will isn't sure either. And if heart's desire doesn't want to do what Jesus wants him to do, King Will, that's exactly right, will not want to do what Jesus wants him to do. And this is what goes on in our minds all day, every day. We're constantly making choices. And if when we're faced with a decision of whether or not it's good or bad, if we decide that it's bad, therefore I'm not going to participate, and if we ask the question, is it right or wrong, and we decide that it's wrong, therefore, I'm not going to participate. And then we help heart's desire. And heart's desire, the Bible, another word for heart's desire, the Bible uses is called lust. Lust is just simply a desire. But that desire can be used in the right way. And if we use the desire, again, in the right way, we decide because it's not good for me or it's because it's not right, I don't want to participate either. I don't want to do it either. And if we make that choice, heart's desire is our choice. If we make that choice, then, again, King will follow and will obey. And so I want to encourage each of you, whenever you're faced with a decision, I want you to ask yourself, is it right or wrong? Is it good or bad? Is it right or wrong? And then remember, you must choose. When we fail to choose what's right, we automatically choose what's wrong. But if we choose what's right, then our actions will follow and we will obey. And God will give us the strength and the power to do so. In the Bible, in the book of Joshua, Joshua 24, verse 15, it says, and if it seems evil to you, I'm going to go up to one more verse just to give a little bit more context. Verse 14, he says, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him with sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so Joshua made a decision that he and his family were going to serve the Lord. And each one of you, even at your young, precious ages, you have the privilege and the joy of learning to make right choices. And I really want to encourage you and pray for you that it will be your heart's desire to always choose what is right and what is best. And when you do, God will give you the strength to obey. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can give you the strength to obey? Do you believe that we can overcome sin in our life? That we don't have to practice sin in our life? We don't. God will help us. If we ask him to help us and we let him help us, he will give us victories in our life. Thank you, sweetheart. Let's pray. You guys were wonderful. You listened so attentively. I appreciate that. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, thank you so much for these precious little ones. Lord, thank you for their attentiveness, for their willingness to learn. And I just pray, Lord, that you would teach them now in their young ages how to recognize and how to respond to the voice of reason, how to ask the question, is it good or bad? How to recognize and listen to the voice of conscience and ask, is it right or wrong? And Lord, I pray that they will choose to put their desire on the side of right, that they will choose what is right and pleasing and honoring to you, and that their will, King will always be surrendered to your will, to your authority. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as adults, help me, Lord, personally, to demonstrate and to model an example before them that would be right and pleasing and acceptable in your sight, so that my influence would not be a distraction to them. I pray, Father, that you would help them again to know that they can call on you and that you will give them every help that is needed. We thank and we praise you, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
and happy Sabbath once again. It's time for our congregational prayer this morning. In front of you, there's a blue card if you would like to fill one of those out with a special request, or if there's just something on your mind, on your heart, that you would like to lift up especially, you're welcome to come forward also. But we will all gather around, those of you who would like to come down to the front, and we will have a prayer together this morning.
We will now sing our cares chorus.
Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be here today. We are thankful for your love for us. We are thankful that you are the Creator. You have made everything. You have made us, and you know us. We come before you humbly this morning. We ask that you would forgive us where we have failed you this week. And we pray for a filling of your Holy Spirit that you can use us. You can work through us to make us all you want us to be. And you can help us to reach those around us. We thank you this morning for Jesus. We thank you for his love and sacrifice for us. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit, the promised Spirit to guide us and direct us each moment of the day. We thank you for the way we see you working in this world. We thank you for the way you are leading those who are seeking you. We're thankful this morning for Heather, the Union College student gymnast who was injured early this year and who is recovering and is doing much better. We pray that you would continue to bless her. We thank you for, once again, a beautiful day and the Sabbath that we can come apart and draw near to you. We lift up before you each card, each name, each request, each praise this morning. Those who are unwritten, unspoken, as well, we pray for our speaker, Pastor Draggett, that you would be close to him, that you would speak through him and give us the message for which we have come today and give us that blessing. We pray for your leading as we seek to share the truth and the hope in this world for the outreach from the radio station, Progress, that you would continue to bless that to happen. We pray for those who are hurting, and those who are suffering the loss in Paris from last night. And we pray, even though that we are not surprised by what we see happening in the world, we pray that you would use this experience, this event, to draw the attention to you and those who are seeking you, that you will be able to find the opportunity to draw all of us to be ready for your soon return. And may we be ready as united families and all of us here together today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I would like to ask Carolyn to come forward. We have a stewardship minute. It's part of our offering, our act of worship called today's offering. And Carolyn is not a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but she's studying to be baptized sometime in the future, near future. And Carolyn, come closer to the microphone. Now, you come from a different, difficult background.
Yes.
But you gave your life to God. But yes. Why don't you share with us a little bit about your background, and then we're going to talk about stewardship.
Okay. I've been in many denominations and never really trusted and obeyed. I'm finding that's the biggest thing in my life I work on now is trusting and obeying. And I have been studying for over 2 years with a couple from Newton, Daryl and Sherry, and some of you might know them. And I've learned so many truths that it was just unbelievable to me what they taught me over that 2 years. And I love this church. It just, it's home to me. And it just seems right to worship on Saturday. And the evidence that I have is just unbelievable. And I'm so grateful.
Okay. Now, you have you had an experience with stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you share with us what you went through there?
Well, Daryl and Sherry never touched on stewardship with me. But I started listening and studying in the Bible about stewardship. And I didn't share this with you, but you did a sermon one Sunday on stewardship after I had seen the verse that said, if you do not tithe, you are stealing from God. And then I heard your sermon, and it just really hit home, and it was just like this light bulb went on. I had no choice. It was the thing to do. Why hadn't I done it before? And I started tithing that week, and I haven't stopped. And it just, he's the best financial advisor I have ever had. And I am so grateful that I am tithing and not stealing from the Lord anymore. And I have so many blessings, I can't even count.
So you're not worse off.
What?
You're not worse off.
Oh, no, I'm better off than I've ever been. Unbelievable.
Okay.
It's just unbelievable, and I praise God for it.
Praise God. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
My friends, again, I know this is a cliche, but it's so true. You cannot outgive God. And as we take up today's offering, remember, the offering is an act of worship. I am giving to God. And he who gave his own son, gave everything to save us, who's giving us grace day by day. He takes delight in showing you that no one can outgive him. So let us take up today's offering. Thank you.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures there below. Praise Him, all the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of salvation. Thank you for your willingness to walk with us every day, give us strength for each and every day. Thank you for all your gifts, and we pray that these gifts will be used for your kingdom, to your honor and glory. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Well, I want to thank you. We can scoot back this way. I want to thank you for your prayers. Our son is now tolerating more so we can get out and do what we love most, singing for the Lord. Amen. 2015 is winding up, and I believe all of us can agree that he had rough times, pain, but he also had joyful, fulfillment, happiness moments. And the good news is Jesus was there when we look on the past, and he is still here. And he will still be there in the future. So please join us when we sing this song entitled Jesus Will Still Be There. Let's spin back a little bit here.
Things change, plans fail, and you look for love on a grander scale. Storms rise, hopes fade, and you place your bets on another day.
When the going gets tough, when the ride's too rough, when you're just not sure enough, Jesus will still be there. His love will never change, sure as a steady rain. Jesus will still be there. When no one else is true, he'll still be loving you. When it looks like you've lost it all, and you haven't got a prayer, Jesus will still be there.
Time flies, hearts turn, a little bit wiser from lessons learned. Sometimes
weakness wins,
and you lose your foothold once again.
When the going gets tough, when the ride's too rough, when you're just not sure enough, Jesus will still be there. love will never change. Sure as the steady rain, Jesus will still be there. When no one else is true, he'll still be loving you. When it looks like you've lost it all, and you haven't got a prayer, Jesus will still be there. Jesus will still be there. His love will never change. Sure as a steady rain, Jesus will still be there. When no one else is true,
when no one is true,
he'll still be loving you. When it looks like you've lost it all, and you haven't got a prayer, Jesus will still be there.
When it looks like you've lost it all, and you haven't got a prayer,
Jesus will still be there.
That harmony in a little while. I really enjoy that. Our scripture this morning is Exodus 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath, each one of you. Some of you know, most of you know, that I've been presenting a series dealing with the characteristics of God's people in the last days. You do believe we live in the last days, don't you? And we have decided to focus not so much on the end time events as we would like to focus on what characterizes God's people in these last days. And so we went to the book of Revelation, chapter 14 and verse 12, where it says, here's the patience of the saints, here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. There are some characteristics right there. We talked about patience, long-suffering of God's people. We talked about faith. What does it mean to have the faith of Jesus? In the future, we will talk about what is the testimony of Jesus, because in chapter 12 and verse 17, it also says that God's people in the last days, those whom the dragon is angry with, they will have the testimony of Jesus, and we will talk about that. But right now, we find ourselves in the middle of a series dealing with the Ten Commandments. Because it says that God's people will keep the commandments of God. And so we have covered two commandments already. In fact, I had two messages related to the second commandment. And I was going to do a third one on Christian service, because it's very much related to the second commandment. It talks about serving idols. Well, whomever you serve, that is your God, in terms of spirituality. So we're going to be talking about service in another sermon later. I decided to put that after this series and focus now, keep going through the Ten Commandments. And the third commandment, the name of the Lord your God is called. I would like to have a prayer with you before I begin. Dear Father, speak through me. May your Spirit take your word and translate into what each one of us need this morning, that we will leave this place fed from your word in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the words that Michael just read were the third commandment, spoken by the Lord. Now, these words among, you know, all the Ten Commandments were written with God's finger on tables of precious stone, on sapphire stone, on blue stone. We're going to be continuing here with our series, and I believe that God has, in these commandments, the blueprint of happiness. And I'd like to focus your attention on the third of the Ten Commandments this morning. And we find it in Exodus 20, verse 7. I'm going to read it one more time. It says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord God will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Now, what most people hear in this commandment is that we should not swear or curse. And that's right, that's included in this commandment. This third saying of God that he gave on Mount Sinai is a warning against careless speech, I guess I can call it. But it's so much more than that. The Hebrew word translated in vain in the King James Version literally means for unreality or for nothingness or to no purpose. And the same Hebrew word is used in Exodus 23, verse 1, where it says, "Do not spread false reports." And the word take, or the verb take, as in "you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain," the verb take literally means to lift up or to carry. You shall not lift up the name of the Lord your God falsely. You shall not carry the name of the Lord your God for nothingness. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Another translation puts it that way. Clearly, the third commandment is a warning against a false use of the name of the Lord your God. Now, I want to suggest that a person can misuse the name of the Lord our God in two ways: careless speech and careless living. Let's first consider what it means to take the name of the Lord your God in vain through careless speech. Have you noticed how careless people are with the name of God? I met people throughout the years who have spewed out profanities like there was no tomorrow. It seemed that almost every other word they uttered was corrupt. And many times, the name of the Lord, the name of God, and the name of Jesus were thrown into the profane conversation. Many continue a tradition that they grew up with. It's part of their upbringing. Boys think, well, you know what? This is going to make me more grown up. I'll be more like a man. And so they use all those words they've heard and they think that they're a man now. And men think, you know, this is going to make me bigger in somebody's sight. You know, I remember one time, I can't remember how long it was ago now, I was in somebody's room, somebody's living room, and there was this comedian on television. And he shared a couple of jokes, and there was no laughter. But then he came with a punchline which had all kinds of vulgarities, and then people laughed and clapped. And that was really what got them. You know, it doesn't make us bigger to use profanities. Obviously, we know that as Christians. You know, this commandment is broken out in the open. Because swearers want people to hear what they say. It's intended by the profaner that you should hear those words. When a person commits adultery, they try to hide it. When a person lusts or when they kill or whatever they do, they conceal it. But this one is done out in the open. It's an open sin against God. What a contrast with the way that the Jewish scribes honored the name of the Lord. When the scribes were copying the sacred scriptures, and they came one to one of the secondary names of God, like El Shaddai, God Almighty, they would stop, they would put down their old pen and take a brand new pen, and they would write the name of God. But when they came to the sacred name of Yahweh, or Jehovah, the personal name of the Lord God, they would stop and they would go and bathe themselves and they would confess their sins and then they would take a new pen and write the sacred name of the Lord. What a contrast with how so many in our generation use the name of the Lord. Unfortunately, even some of those who claim to honor God are guilty of careless speech. There is a pervasive lack of respect for the name of the Lord our God. As God's remnant people, maybe we need to think twice before we use certain words and phrases that refer to the attributes of God. Have you heard anybody say mercy? What are they actually saying? Well, they're using one of the attributes of God. It's a vegetarian version of cursing. Okay? Or you may hear somebody say, goodness gracious. Well, you know, it sounds innocent enough, but that also is an attribute of the Lord our God. Why do we refer to the Lord our God? And then we have expressions such as G-O-S-H or G-O-L-L-Y. And if you look them up in the dictionary, they refer to God. And the first syllable of Jesus' name, G, says. You hear it all the time, over and over, don't we? A name is important. It represents who you are. And the Lord our God's name represents who he is and what he is. Names are important. We don't name every inconsequential thing. Do you name every leaf on the trees in your yard? Well, of course not. What about every rose that blossoms in your garden? No, we don't name inconsequential things. We name big things, buildings, bridges, battleships, people. And the Lord our God is at the apex of all of that. His name is prime. His name is above all names. And for us to take his name in vain is extremely dangerous. Especially in Bible times, parents love naming their children according to their personality traits. Jesus renamed Peter when he met him from Simon to Peter, the rock. He used to be Simon, right? And so Jesus renamed him. In Revelation 2:17, we're told that you and I will be given a new name when we get to heaven. And I imagine that that name will reflect our character. When you hear the name Birger Draget, I don't want you to think badly of it because it represents my reputation. God wants you to think highly of his name because God's name depicts his reputation. When we misuse his name, we actually drag down his character before others. And therefore, profanity becomes the opposite of witnessing. It's interesting to watch some of the current presidential candidates as they're trying to drag other candidates' names through the mud. It's very interesting to watch. They want their names to be degraded in the minds of the people because they want to ruin the reputation. And how do they do it? By rumors and insinuations. One candidate, Ben Carson, has especially had a lot of mud thrown at him lately, but he refuses to respond in kind. He said, "I don't get into the mud pit." Interesting. When you swear, you cast mud at God. You are affecting his reputation. And when you stand there and listen as someone is talking about their blankety-blank car or their blankety-blank boss, etc., etc., and if you stay and you keep listening to that, and you're cheapening your life, you're dragging down your God, you're putting him down onto your level. Something good inside of you is being destroyed. And if you're one of those who speak those evil things, that's even worse. Colossians 3:8 has a command for us. You must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. Now, I was reading from a different translation than what you have in front of you. But now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. So there you got two translations. The Apostle Paul encourages us to not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. He says in Ephesians 4, verse 29. And that would certainly include not speaking the name of the Lord profanely. When you challenge someone about this kind of profanity, you will often hear something like, "Oh, they didn't really mean anything," or "I didn't really mean anything by saying that. It's just a figure of speech." But the third commandment warns us that God holds a person accountable who takes his name in vain. You see, swearing is not the main problem. Swearing is a symptom of the problem. You might say, "Oh, they're good guys. They don't mean anything by it. It's just kind of the way that they were raised, and they don't mean anything by swearing. In their heart, they really do love the Lord, and they're in church in the weekend. What comes out of their mouth is not anything like what's in their heart." Well, if that's how you feel, you're wrong. Because the Bible always connects what comes out of the mouth with what's in the heart. Now, in Luke 6, verse 45, it says, "The words that the mouth utters come from the overflowing of the heart." That's from the New English Bible. And in Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." So don't tell me that your friend has a bad problem with swearing, but that his heart is okay, because that is not scriptural. If ungodly words pour out of a person's mouth, it is a sure sign that there is a horrible problem with the heart. So shy away from listening to swearing whenever you can help it. Remember, Jesus, we believe he's coming soon, and we are going to be in heaven, and we're going to be in the company of holy angels who bow down when they hear the name of God. We're going to be in their companionship, in their presence. So don't you think it's time for us to build respect for God's name into our lives? We don't have half the respect of what the people had in Bible times for the name of God. And that affects very much our witness and our testimony. In fact, it affects our relationship to God when we are not having the respect that his name deserves. And you know, what we watch and what we listen to in the entertainment world also has an effect on us in this respect. How can a Christian watch a TV program or a movie where God's name is taken in vain over and over again? How can we sit and enjoy that? How can a Christian listen to music that drags God down? You may think that periodic flow of swear words through the brain is not affecting your spiritual life. So that you can take all of that in, as long, you know, it's not going to affect you. But then the question is harvest in the same season that we plant? The harvest always comes later. 1 Timothy 6, verse 20 is relevant in this context. And it says there, turn away from godless chatter. That's it, isn't it? Turn away from godless chatter. King James says, avoiding profane babbling. Don't listen to it. Turn away from profane speech, which is the opposite of profound speech. Like these three monkeys, we ought to do everything possible to see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil. Because eventually it will drag you down and it will destroy something noble inside of you. But this commandment is a warning against more than just careless speech. It's also a warning against careless living. Let's say that my car breaks down and I take it to the garage, to the auto mechanic, and I get it fixed, and they say, well, that will be $265. And I say, well, I don't have the money with me right now, and I'll bring it in this afternoon. And I don't come in the afternoon, and I don't come in the next afternoon, and I don't decide I'm not going to go there anymore to get my car fixed. I go to some other garage in the future, and then I'll repeat this, and eventually people will see me coming, and they're going to say, you know, there comes one of those so-called Christians. There are many aspects, many areas of life where we may leave a bad witness because we take the name of God and drag it through the mud. There was a blind man sitting on the sidewalk, and it was dark. It was evening, and he had a lantern lit beside him, a blind man with a lantern lit beside him in the dark. And people asked, why? Why do you have a lantern? You can't see. And he explained, I don't want people to stumble over me. I don't want people to stumble over me either. So I don't want to take his name in vain. I want to live up to the standards of Jesus in my life, so help me God. You shall not carry the name of the Lord your God falsely, is really another way of saying this verse, Exodus 27. You shall not carry the name of your Lord God falsely. When we carry the name of the Lord our God, when we claim to be a follower of the Lord our God, and we live carelessly, this is a second way to take his name in vain. The Old Testament speaks very strongly about making a promise in the name of the Lord, or making a promise as one who carries the name of the Lord and then failing to keep that promise. And, you know, if you go to court, you will know what that means. You make a promise on the Word of God to speak the truth. And if you don't speak the truth, you're in trouble. If you don't speak the truth, you're also taking the God's name in vain. You have dishonored the name of God, the Lord your God. Jesus also rebuked those who carry the name of the Lord but live carelessly. He says in Luke 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? You know, Carolyn, who spoke earlier in the stewardship minute, talked about how she had discovered so many beautiful truths in the scriptures. She discovered jewels there that she didn't know were there. She discovered the seventh-day Sabbath. And she didn't just listen to it and say, oh, good to know. But she took it to heart, and she's applying them in her life. She's taking them to heart. She's doing the things that he says, and thereby lifting up his name. If we carry the name of the Lord and then live carelessly, we're taking his name in vain, and we're guilty of transgressing the third commandment. So, in a way, you can see now how when you break one commandment, you break other commandments. It's all connected. If you break one commandment, you've broken them all, because they're all connected. Careless living by those who claim to be Christians not only damages their reputations and hurts their family, it publicly dishonors the name of the Lord our God. Now, why does God, the Lord our God, feel so strongly about his name? It's because his name is a reflection of his character. Listen to this testimony of Moses about the name of the Lord. Exodus 33, verse 19. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. You see what his name is connected with? And then it says in Exodus 34, verses 5 through 7, then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. You know, the name of the Lord is a reflection of his character, of love and mercy. The psalmist was right when he described the name of the Lord as a great and awesome name in Psalm 99, verse 3. So we ought to be very careful not to misuse the name of the Lord by careless speech or careless living, because the Lord will hold those accountable who misuse his name. Now, so far in this message, we have been focusing on what not to do. Don't misuse the name of the Lord our God by careless speech or careless life. But now I want also to focus on the positive. If you do a Bible search on the phrase, the name of the Lord, you will find 109 references in the Bible, 88 references in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, and 21 references in the Greek, in the New Testament. And of those 109 references, only a handful of them focus on the negative, warning against it, a misuse of the name of the Lord our God. The vast majority of references focus on the positive, on appropriate ways to use or to lift up the name of the Lord our God. Call upon the name of the Lord is one of them. Trust in the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Serve in the name of the Lord. And so forth. I want to focus on three appropriate ways that we can lift up the name of the Lord here this morning. First, we can call upon the name of the Lord. The Apostle Peter quoted the words of the prophet Joel on the day of Pentecost when he said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now that's good news. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What does that mean? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's more than just uttering his name. It's more than just seeking his face. You know, in the Old Testament, when you call upon the name of the Lord, that was another expression for worshiping him. When you call upon the name of the Lord, my friends, you're calling for his character. You're embracing his character. You're embracing what he's all about. That's what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? So you cannot call upon the name of the Lord and say, sorry, I really don't want that aspect of your character. True worship, you get a little better picture of what it is. So, you know, that's a positive use of the name of the Lord. Luke records in the Gospel of Luke that a dying thief hanging on a cross next to Jesus called upon the name of the Lord, and he was saved. He wanted, he saw in the character of Jesus something beautiful. He wanted that. And he wanted to be with his Savior. And you also can be saved when you call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? The Word of God also encourages us to trust in the name of the Lord our God. And that's a second appropriate way of lifting up his name. Now, one of my favorite words of Scripture is found in Psalm 20, a psalm of David. Psalm 20, verse 7. We read, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Amen. That's what the young David did when he faced the Philistine giant, Goliath. He said, you come at me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. At that moment, Goliath should have known that he was in serious trouble. Because young David was not trusting in his own expertise with a slingshot. David was trusting in the name of the Lord our God. And David's son, King Solomon, declared in Proverbs 18 and verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And that trusting in the name of the Lord our God is not a one-time decision. It's a moment-by-moment commitment. The prophet Micah put it this way in Micah chapter 4 and verse 5. He says, all the nations may walk in the name of their gods. We will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Now, a third appropriate way to lift up the name of the Lord is to praise the name of the Lord. We hear this appeal over and over again in the Word of God, to give God praise. Listen to this exhortation here in Psalm 113. Verses 1 through 3. It says, praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. And again, in Psalm 135 and verse 3, we read this. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise to his name, for that is pleasant. And that's exactly what David did. Listen to his testimony in Psalm 7 and verse 17. He says, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. And then in Psalm 145, again, 145 verses 1 and 2, he says, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. You know, all of these Psalms here at the close of the book of Psalms, read them and you will hear one message over and over again. Praise the name of the Lord. And Job taught us that we shouldn't just praise the name of the Lord when things are going well. We should praise the name of the Lord even in the midst of adversity. Even as Job had lost all of his possessions and all of his children, this is what he said. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Or may the name of the Lord be praised in this particular translation. We can praise the name of the Lord, our God, even in difficult times, because he is our great and wonderful and awesome God. He is our rock. He is our salvation. He is the Lord, our God, who brought us out of bondage. In our passage class this morning, we talked about Israelites going through the Red Sea, and the waters covered the Egyptians who were behind them. and not one of them escaped. So they went through that baptism, and they came up on the other side, and they had no pursuers. We can praise God that we have come out of a life of sin. God can arrange it so that we don't have any pursuers. All the bad habits, the inclinations, all the stuff that we have behind us, He can bury them in the depth of the sea. Don't you have a reason to praise God? That's why right after that experience, you have Moses singing a song, a whole chapter. Chapter 15 in the book of Exodus is all about that song of Moses. And then, of course, his sister Miriam comes in and with a refrain, you know. Look what God has done. So, yes, God is good. And we can praise Him all the time. He has brought us out of bondage. And if you're still in bondage, my friend, don't give up. God can get you out of bondage. Just do what the Israelites did. God said, go forward. They went forward. And He opened up the sea for them. That's the way to victory. Just go wherever God leads, and He will give you the victory. He will take you step by step, and He will give you His grace, His power, that will enable you to walk in His presence. He is the Lord our God who loves us so much that He sent His own Son to save us from sin and from death. So let's praise the name of the Lord our God and give Him glory. That's the positive message that I want us to take away from this study of the third commandment. The third saying of the Lord there on Mount Sinai. And it was written with His finger on tables of precious stone. And it's very clear in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, that He writes the same commandments into our hearts. Because they are eternal commandments. The moral law is not done away with. So, not only should we not misuse the name of the Lord our God by careless speech or by careless living, but we should lift up the name of the Lord our God in appropriate ways by calling upon the name of the Lord our God and trusting in the name of the Lord our God and praising the name of the Lord our God. And I could talk about many more things here, but these are the three I wanted to highlight. This message on the third commandment has been divided into two parts. First, the negative. Don't misuse the name of the Lord our God by careless speech or careless living. And that's important, isn't it? God will hold a person accountable who misuses His name. But we have also noticed the positive. We have been encouraged to lift up the name of the Lord our God in appropriate ways by calling on the name of the Lord and by trusting the name of the Lord and by praising the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, may the name of the Lord be preached. May the name of the Lord be praised. As we leave this place, may our words and our actions send a clear message to those around us. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And Psalm 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that You have revealed to us Your will. I really enjoyed the children's story this morning, Father, showing the connection between information and desire and the will. And Father, I just pray that You will create in us a new heart if we don't already have one. And that you will plant in us the desire to go where you lead if we don't have the desire. And if we have the desire, Father, I just pray that you will help us to walk, that you will empower us so that when we take that step, when we go forward, that you will open up the sea, that you will let us walk through, and that we will have all our enemies, all the pursuers, all the challenges, the bad habits, whatever it is, are buried in the sea. So, Father, help us to be witnesses to your greatness and to you, to honor your name every day of our lives through careful speech and careful living, and through praising and trusting your name. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.